can start with our first talk. Perfect. So now it's going to be an interesting block of two talks about FOSS in the public sector. And the first one will be Digital Sovereignty and the FOSS Stack at School. And it's by Geert Jan, is that correct? Yes.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, and we will hear why it's really important to have the open source stack at schools and not be bounded by big corporations, especially American ones. So big applause for Geert.
Wow, an applause even before it got started. That's nice. I haven't done anything yet. Well, good morning. What? We did a sound check. Maybe I touched the button. Didn't get it off. Yeah, is it working now?
No.
Now there's a green light again. Maybe the wire not connected.
Yeah, I think it's
my head.
So we just hear that the sound is in the back, but not in the front. Can you fix that?
We're going to swap headsets just a moment. We'll be right back.
Don't go. Stay here.
Oh, so that's a different audio thing. Okay, so it's not the headset then.
Maybe not, but we'll give it a try. We can practice our Laola meanwhile, maybe?
Headset free.
Okay. Is it working now? Do you have audio over the big speakers too?
You can. We can switch. Mine is working.
Yeah. Oh, you hear it only from the back, but not from the front. It was the same with the first headset. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Echo,
echo. I hope you can find the front microphone.
One, two.
Shifter.
One, two.
I get back on stage again.
Yeah. Okay, let's enter the stage for a little morning exercise.
Okay. Please give me a sign when the audio is good. Can you find it? One, two, three, four. I'm going to say good morning again to you. So.
That sounds good.
One, two, three. No audio yet. But the hand microphone was working, right? So I think we just switch to the hand microphone then.
Or I can still give you my headset. Should we switch?
We can also switch. Is that one working? No.
In the meantime, I can try to name the organization.
1 2
for you
1 2 mic check.
Or I don't.
Yeah, 1 2 1 2 mic check. Yeah, this one is
perfect.
Working. Now I need to untangle myself. Okay, good. Well, let's just start again. Good morning. Did you all sleep well? You guys are very lucky that we can start at 10 because I requested your organization to start just like schools at 8:30, so you get 1.5 hour extra sleep. I will first do an introduction about the organization that I work for and and myself. Then I'll tell you why question. What's wrong with big tech, and that's going to make you very unhappy, and then I'm going to tell you how we're going to fix it. Good. The Coalition for Fair Digital Education, we're an internet society working group. In Dutch, that is the Coalitie voor Eerlijk Digitaal Onderwijs, and we abbreviate that to CEDO. My name is Geert-Jan Meeuwissen. My contact details are here. From profession, I'm a network designer, so I design computer networks and configure servers and routers, switches, etc. In my spare time, I'm a privacy activist and a free software activist. So I first spent a lot of time to de-Google my own life, and the life of my family. And it went pretty well until Corona started. Then school decided that my kids should be using Google, which I totally disagreed with. So I became very angry at the school. But after a certain time, I realized, yeah, school doesn't really have an alternative. So we should fix the problem of the schools instead of only being mad at schools that they give away all the data. So what we really need is IT school environment that's really designed with public values by design. And you can do that with free and open source software. Let me first get into the issues that are in the current environment. There's a lot of public values at stake if you're talking about the digital environment in schools. I categorize them into four categories: the profiling, advertising, for ads and service personalization. Second is behavioral predictions, which relates very closely. There's a huge echo on this stage.
Is that me? Yeah.
Softer, or do we need to keep it closer?
Mute.
If I put it closer and you put the microphone a bit down, is it then better? Yeah, the echo is going away. Okay, good. Well, of course, the profiling, advertising, and behavioral predictions are very closely related to each other. And we have the vendor lock-in, which comes into three subcategories, and privatization of collective effort. I'm only going to zoom into the last two, so the privatization of collective effort and the vendor lock-in, because this slide only, we could talk for 2 hours about it, but we don't have 2 hours. Below there, you have all the risks that we see in these kind of behaviors. I will go zoom in first into the privatization of collective effort. What happens in school? Adaptive learning is hot. So a lot of ed tech companies are trying to collect lots of data, which means they put the children at work to generate data for the company. But this data is not going to the public domain or remains ownership of the kids. It's going to be, it becomes private property of the company that collected it, while the kids generated it. So what happens? Quite often there's some kind of public institution that does research on adaptive learning. That research is funded with public money. Then as soon as it starts, as it seems to work, it's being privatized and put into a commercial operation. And then schools need to buy licenses from this commercial operation. And then the kids are put to work to train the data set of this company. An example that we have here in the Netherlands is called Rekentuin, or Calculation Town, which has all three of these properties. It's developed at the University of Amsterdam. Then it's being commercialized. And what it does, it has a... It's a method so children can make calculation sums. And what they have is a huge database of calculations that are rated just like a skiing competition or a tennis competition. So they know exactly how difficult a calculation is, and what they match that to the level of the kid. Oh, their primary asset is this very big database of calculations and how difficult kids find that. But as soon as kids start working with that, they are training the algorithm to grade the sums on how difficult they are. So if there's a new entrance to the market, they don't have this big trained database that is being trained by all the kids in our schools. And yeah, because of this, so they're very far behind, and it's very hard to catch up. So let me grab. I need some more coffee. Okay, there's the typical vendor lock-in you probably all know. When people are talking about vendor lock-in, usually they talk about an organization that's bound to either a Microsoft environment or whatever kind of product it is. But there's more to it, to vendor lock-ins, than is possible. Because in your personal life, you can switch to open source. But what happens, you always get invites to big tech cloud services. You get requests to fill out a Microsoft form. You can get invites from friends to join a nice Zoom meeting. You get links to Google Docs. So nice if you don't want to participate in that. But the only way to escape at the current situation, if you go to an inhabited island, dig a very big hole, and close it very well, because otherwise a drone for Google Maps will come and map it. So this is there's a lot of pressure from society that keeps pulling you back into these big American cloud services again. Well, this is the classic vendor lock-in. That's basically built upon proprietary code, lack of open standards, undocumented or no open API and bad documentation. And yeah, currently schools do not have any exit strategy. So if they want to go, even if they would want to leave the Google or the Microsoft environments, they can't because they don't know how and they've even never really thought about it. The good news is here, with the Trump administration, schools start to think about it, but they need a lot of help on how to do it, even if they want to, because it's complicated and expensive. But there's also a personal vendor lock-in. That means that if you spend a lot of time and effort on how to learn a tool, for instance, my daughter is doing industrial design engineering. She needs to do a proprietary CAD. Drawing device. She's learning that in school, but she's putting time and effort in that. So she's not going to use OpenCAD now because, yeah, it's different. And then she wasted a lot of time on the proprietary stuff. So it's very, very difficult to switch. Now then, back on the privacy issues. If you start discussions with schools about privacy with big tech data services, the answer is always, yeah, but we have a data processing agreement. But what they don't mention is there's been, in the Netherlands, there's done a lot of DPIA's, so detailed privacy impact assessments. And what came out of that is there's a book that you need to implement, and then you need to switch off all the handy and nice features that make life easy for school. It's a technical manual that has dozens of pages. And there are not many schools that have actually implemented that. But yeah, they do have a legal obligation. But as soon as you start this discussion, they say, yeah, we have a data processing agreement, but there's no actual implementation of the required technical manual that you have to do. And those are very hard discussions with the school because what Google is also doing, this DPIA's and this data processing agreement is only applicable to the core services. But it's not applicable to Google Search, it's not applicable to Google Maps, it's not applicable to YouTube. And then the last point of a plus problem with this thing is only applicable in school. But what schools are forgetting then is that it really matters what you teach. You can't teach children only how to use Google services, then expect them to go home, read the terms and conditions, and then go like, oh, that doesn't look good. Let me try something else. So we teach all these big tech services, And then in school, privacy is sort of fixed by this data processing agreement. But this data processing agreement is only applicable in school, but outside of school, these better terms and conditions are not achievable. So outside of school, you get all of these problems with profiling, targeted behavioral behavioral predictions, all the risks that are there for sovereignty, for democracy, for, well, basically, and the privatization of collective effort. And you will click on OK, because you don't know anything else. So this is really like you're teaching children how to work with in school with asbestos. You provide gloves, masks in school so they're protected. Outside of school, they're going to use the same services also. But then there's no gloves, there's no masks, no nothing. I need a glass up there, sir. So what happens if you connect all of these properties together? And we cannot let it happen that this generation is growing up only knowing how to use big tech American cloud services. That's that's a huge problem for democracy. We will end up, if we continue on this path, we'll end up in a world that's completely enchantified. So, this world doesn't look like the world I would want to live in. So I'm going to need your help, so please. If you want to help our coalition to make this succeed and provide actual alternative and make to realize a free and open source school IT environment, I'd like to ask you, can you help? Who's willing? Please let me hear you. I don't hear anything. Hey, okay, that's better. That's better. Good, good, good. After this talk, I'll be standing here outside. I will take the banner with me, so follow the banner, then you can sign up and give you a task. For the non-Dutch people, first a small remark about the Dutch school system. In the Netherlands, we have freedom of education. That means that any conviction or lifestyle can start their own school. And government just will only provide the funding, but the way you teach and the things you the way you organize your school is up to the school itself. So they can decide themselves on what teaching methods they use, how they're teaching, but also on the IT environment they're used. So for the Netherlands, that's a great opportunity because we don't need to convince the entire government to get started. You just need to find a few schools that are willing to be the first to develop and test and implement and migrate to a free and open source IT environment. This is really the vulnerability we can use, we can exploit. What is freedom of choice? You can, in the past, you could choose between a Catholic school or a public school or a Protestant school or an Islamic school, if you like. But nowadays, it's more like you choose a Google school or a Microsoft school or an iPad school. But the problem here is even if you select the least worst of these three, you can just get an email, oh, next year we'll switch. We go from Microsoft to Google even if the third that actually happened to me. I selected the school that was still mainly using Microsoft standalone USB sticks and email, stuff like that. And then suddenly email came. Next year we'll switch to Google. And even in the privacy policy, it was very strict, very written, very explicit that we would do privacy by design, etc., etc. But they switched anyway, and the privacy policy was overboard and gone. We want to approach this problem from three different angles. First is show that it's possible to run a school on public, on free and open source software. Fortunately, there are in other places in Europe, there's already schools that are doing that. There's in Germany, there's a few schools. In Norway, there's a few schools. In South Tyrol, so that's the north of Italy, there's even 70 schools that run fully on open source. The second thing we're going to do is lobbying, advocating at the national politic, but also in European politics. And we're also doing journalistic research to reach out and to make the public more aware of all the problems that are occurring with using big American cloud services. Fortunately, Trump did a great deal on that to improve on awareness. Our talks with schools really have completely changed. First, we really had to explain, oh, is there something wrong with using Microsoft or Google? Or we really had to start from the beginning, and now it's really from, okay, we know we have a problem, but how can we change? So please help us. If you look at school IT environments, we roughly have four domains. The first thing is we have the generic office things that any organization needs. So collaborating, video conferencing, email, calendar, etc., etc. Then you have school-specific software, so pupil administration, rostering software, links with the government to provide basic information about the students. You need some hardware to run it on. And this can be, of course, nice Linux tablets. And there's the educational content. In the Netherlands, that means EdTech publishers, publishing methods. That will be the last part that we'll be working on. First, fix the generic stuff with the hardware and the generic open source IT stuff that any organization needs. We made a list. First thing you need is some kind of central sign-on with identity access management to get access to a student administration that kids can log in and hop on, have access to a device, and go to whatever educational thing they need to do. Of course, they need a device that stores their files, and even if the device gets lost, dropped, etc., don't lose their files, so you need some file management, like Nextcloud files. If you get a homework assignment and you need to collaborate, well, we can do that with Nextcloud with Collabora. Then for agenda task, we could use the Ox app suite that's also being developed by national governments, because national governments are working very hard on digital sovereignty now. In the Netherlands it's called OpenDesk, but there's a collaboration between France and Germany that's doing an open source environment, also based on most of the applications I just named. And of course, we try to piggyback on that. And for video calling in schools, you have Big Blue Button, Jitsi, or even Nextcloud Talk. But our goal is that we, as an organization, provide a reference architecture where we connect all of this, and that per block, you can have an open source project that to fill in the block. And one school will pick Big Blue Button, the other school will pick Jitsi, a school will pick Gibbon Edu as a pupil administration system, and another school will use Odoo or something similar like that. And we also, of course, need to run it somewhere. We prefer to containerize everything, That's easier for management, easier to cooperate. And we want to run it on sustainable hardware. And the sustainable hardware can be in, can be run in school or in a local data center or in some other European company. But our preference, of course, is that either we bring some server capacity back in school, or you use a local hoster that does that for the school. Well, in the end, this is a screenshot that's from one of the government projects. In the end, it will look like very similar to this. You get a portal, you log in there, and there you find all your apps. And of course, they're all public values by design, privacy by design, and secure by design, and hosted locally or hosted by a European company in Europe. Of course, to run all of this, we need we need hardware. The fun thing is, there's already a project called Debian Edu. That means that has the nice properties to, that it's a Debian distribution that has all the educational features in there, including the fleet management. Because you have, if you have thousands and thousands of devices that you need to manage, you're going to you don't want to do that individually. This is what the management server looks like. Here you can make groups and clusters and say, hey, this type of device, I'm going to push this update, I'm going to install this software, etc. So for someone that's managing it, it has a lot of same properties as Microsoft Intune has. But there's also, to make the migration easier, there's lots and lots of hardware already in schools. There's both a pain in the ass, but it's also a great opportunity, especially schools buy Chromebooks, so they have a huge fleet of Chromebooks, but those are quite often have a very short short period that they are supported, but you can hack them. You can install a core boot on them with Debian Edu, and then give your fleet of Chromebooks a second life. I have a few devices here. Those were Chromebooks, but now they've been liberated. If you come after the talk, I will do a little demo with them. They actually run, there's no Chrome OS on them anymore. There's only core boot, and there's Debian. But there's more opportunities because this October, end of 10 is going to happen. That means there's huge piles of hardware that has either the wrong TPM chip or is not supported anymore by Windows. But as soon as you install Linux on them, you can keep using them for a few years. It has huge benefits. It's, first of all, it's cheap, you already have the hardware. Second, it's very sustainable because you give the hardware a second life and you can keep using it for longer. So you can actually keep using it until it really breaks instead of replacing them because a vendor says we don't support it anymore. So, short summary. On school computers, you need fleet management, like Debian Edu. Almost everything the schools do is now browser-based, so the hardware that kids are using can be really minimal. These devices over here, they have only 4 gigs of memory and 32 gigabytes of storage, and that's more than sufficient if you, because everything's browser-based anyway, so you need to boot it, start the browser, and do your work. And to do your work, you need this portal that you can log into and select the applications that are needed. If you have stuff that is local and needs to be local, then you need to have some home folders syncing that we can do with Nextcloud. And also classroom, there needs to be classroom management and computer monitoring. Well, the last part would not be my favorite because they want to have the teacher to be able to peek on the screens of the children. But there's also the need to make sure that they're not only gaming, watching YouTube videos, doing social media, etc., etc. So, to summarize, fix the internet, save society, prevent a nightmare dystopia, start a school. If you want to help, please talk to me afterwards. If there's any questions, I'd like to open the Q&A now. We have plenty of time for that now.
Okay. Oh, hey, already on. Yeah, so thank you very much. That was a great talk. And if you have any questions, please here, come to the microphone, line up. I have a very first question. You mentioned that you will be using a stack that's based on German-French cooperation. And I was wondering if the next talk is exactly about that stack or is it a different one? Did you already talk to the next speaker about Zendes? Or is it... Which one is it?
You mean this one?
Yeah, the slide before. There you mentioned somewhere that you will use a stack that is based on a French-German cooperation.
I'm going closer because it's hard to understand today.
Ah, okay. You mentioned here that you will use a stack that is based on a cooperation between France and Germany.
Yes.
Okay, so and I was wondering if the next speaker is going to talk about exactly that or if that's a different stack from Zendes.
Zendes is involved in this project, I know, but I haven't checked the details of the next speaker yet, but I'm very interested.
So, okay, then stay here.
That's what I forgot to mention. I will be after this talk, but also outside after the next talk. So if you want to see the next talk, I will still be there.
Thank you for the presentation. It was really cool. I have a question. It looks like from your presentation that you're focused more on like this first advocacy and like trying to get the school on board with the idea. But is it in scope of your current work to work with this, like second day when the school decided to make a change? Is there ways to help them to maintain this infrastructure once they build it? Because I think like deciding to change to Linux is one thing. Deciding to stay on Linux after and like maintaining it over a longer period of time is a second one. So is it in scope for you or not yet?
Yes, that's definitely in scope because. But to develop the entire stack I just showed, we need money and we need schools that want to help developing this because you need to do that in collaboration with schools so that you can steer a bit on where the schools actually want to go. Because we can build our dream IT environment and then try to sell it to a school, but it should be a collaborative project. And in our coalition, we also have several companies that are proficient in managing cloud environments and managing hardware and delivering hardware. Mm-hmm. I mean, also these Chromebooks that we liberated, we had some help of one of the core boot developers. The lead developer of Debian Edu is, we have close contact with that. We have regular talks with the Big Blue Button developer, so we're very well connected on the open source development side. We currently have two schools that want to pilot. We also have very good connections with institutions like KennisNet and Sivon. We have regular talks with them, so we're going to set up more pilots and then take the lessons from that. And the main focus will be how hard is migrating and how hard is it to maintain it? Because, yeah, ease in maintenance is very important.
Thank you very much for the talk. You mentioned that there are 70 schools in South Tyrol that are already using something similar, but you never mentioned collaboration or synergies. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, we have one of the. We also have an international matrix group. There we keep each other posted. I'm going to put it on the screen, and you can scan the QR code, and we try to get everybody in Europe that's doing similar projects in this matrix group, so that it's easy to reach each other and to connect to each other. And also in November, there's a big conference in south of Tyrol. I will be going there and to actually meet some people and see this cool environment myself. So.
Thank you for the talk. It was mostly focused on the schools themselves, and I was wondering if perhaps things outside of schools, like tools that children and adults as well use outside of the school environment to teach themselves things, are there perhaps a lot of opportunities there to create open source software that enables people to create their own teaching material that's not based on, you know, data mining, users not respecting their privacy, that sort of thing?
If you look at the four parts that we see in school environments, the educational materials is the things we're going to do last. Mm. We first try to what we actually want to achieve. Most schools have some kind of foundation document that describes how they look at society and how they kids in the world and what their place is. We would like to have that document to develop the entire IT environment and to raise the awareness in schools that the reason you're founded should be reflected in what you do in your as soon as it touches your computer.
But
the educational material, there's another project in the Netherlands that's working on that. It's called, they just started, they don't have a website yet, so I'm not sure how far they are now. But our first focus is the IT environment that the school is managing themselves. And hopefully through that, implicitly, you teach a lot about open source because kids get used to Nextcloud, get used to Jitsi, Big Blue Button, etc. So they will look up those tools also.
And that will filter into the sort of digital methodologies they may choose to use for their educational material, choosing more open source instead of proprietary.
Yeah, that's what we hope to achieve also.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so would you like to bring up the slide with the contact information and the
yes.
QR code? And while you're doing that, I check with our team here if there are any questions online. Nope. Okay. So for the people online, you can ask your questions on IRC. I think you can find the link on the wiki. Any more questions from the audience, maybe? Okay, then thank you again, Gerard. That was a very interesting and I think very important talk. So big applause for Gerard.
Oh, thank you.